Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, Nick's got a new edition of his NBA player pyramid. I'm sure we'll have zero issues with it whatsoever. Why is Kevin Stefanski confident we'll see a better Baker Mayfield this coming season? And Dak Prescott rumored to be close to 100%. Not there yet, though. What does that mean for the Dallas Cowboys? Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, Super Bowl again for the Cowboys. You had him high up last year.
Yes.
I don't think I can go out on that limb once again. I don't think I can go out on that limb again, Jenna.
Do it. Do it, Nick.
It's a shaky limb. It's a real shaky limb, Nick. All right, we'll get to that in a bit. We got to start with the Lakers and the Suns. Phoenix was hot coming in. They were hot going out like acid wash jeans. Suns doing it despite losing Devin Booker. He was tossed in the third. Suns doing it despite LeBron putting up 38 points. Phoenix Suns, your winner over the King and company. Hey, Brandon, did last night prove that LeBron James cannot carry this Laker team all by his lonesome?
To some, I mean, but for others who were being honest, knew that it was impossible for LeBron to carry this team, the team that took the floor last night, to a championship. You know, look, LeBron James is awesome. He's great, but he can't do it alone. You know, we know they didn't have AD, they didn't have Gasol, they didn't have Kuz, and it wasn't enough. You got a team, a red hot team, probably the hottest team in the NBA right now in the Suns. They have something to prove. They haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years or so. And you have two guys who are on a mission to change that narrative right now. So they had to have this game. For them to elevate and go to another level, they had to have it. Yesterday I said, look, Nick, if LeBron don't drop 50, they're not going to win this game because he didn't have the help. So for them to win this game, LeBron had to drop 50. He dropped 38. He came up 10 points short, and that was the reason why, because he didn't have the help. So they need all the help they can get moving forward when they get healthy from these guys. Hopefully they can get healthy and they come back and they can actually contribute and help this boy out.
So I must admit, yesterday when Brandon said, if LeBron doesn't score 50, the Lakers can win, or the Lakers can't win, I'm glad I was off camera because I will admit, I rolled my eyes a bit. I was like, come on, man. That's such a ridiculous statement to make. He has to score 50 for them to win. But then he scores 38 and they lose by 10. And I'm like, well, 38 plus 10, that's 48. So technically, I guess he needed 49 last night for them to win. Brandon was absolutely right about last night's game. And I'll tell you the moment I knew the Lakers were in trouble. When the first guy off the bench was Jared Dudley, I said, oh boy, this could be a long night for my Lakers. It's going to be a tough night. And I like Duds, and he's a great media guy, a great leader, but it shouldn't exactly be in your immediate rotation when you're fighting at the moment for the 2 seed in the Western Conference. With that said, Wilds, I do think a lot of this is concern trolling. Almost like concern cosplaying with the Lakers. Can they win the title without Anthony Davis? No. Now, I do think they could win the West without Anthony Davis. I do think they could beat the Suns in a series, the Clippers, and certainly the Jazz without AD. But in the finals, you would either need AD to guard Embiid, to guard Giannis, or you would need AD scoring to counteract the Nets. So I don't think they could win the championship without him, even though I think they could get there. But he's not going to be gone. Like, nobody thinks Anthony Davis is not going to be back shortly after the All-Star break. So is this a championship team without Anthony Davis?
No. Wiles thinks that.
Are they? Wiles, you think he's going to be gone for a long time? You think Anthony Davis is going to be gone for a while?
I'm more nervous than you are, Nick.
No. That's right, Jenna. I like to be consider myself an empathetic guy. I'm a little bit of a worrier. I'm concerned. I don't consider myself a Laker concerned troll. Just like when my grandmother worries about me, I say, Grandma, stop trolling me. Like, stop sending me emojis and, like, get off social media trolling me because you're worried. Here's why. The Achilles scares me to death. It scares me to death. The Lakers have played 36 games. He's missed a third of them. In the last eight, Nick, they're 3-5. He's going to miss a few more after the break. He's probably going to miss three more, maybe come back against Charlotte. So the lack of the offseason, I know we don't talk about it enough. I think it's a major issue. And just think best case scenario. AD is not coming back from, you know, a broken arm where it heals up and he's ready to go. I still think we're going to see minutes restrictions. I still think we're going to see load management. And I know that we had your list of teams. This is why I thought last night was interesting. You know you have to worry about Denver. You're saying you don't have to worry about the Jazz, even though they're fantastic. You know you're going to have to worry about the Clippers. Now you're going to have to worry about DeAndre Ayton in the middle. And Jared Dudley's not the answer. So if maybe I'm a concerned troll, so be it. I just think of myself being like, a nice guy worried about
Wilds, AD. Here's what I think. I thought everyone on this show said when before AD was missing time, but he was consistently listed with the Achilles or the calf injury. And I know for a fact we had as a topic, what should the Lakers do with Anthony Davis? And every single person across the board said, be overly cautious. Rest him longer than you need to so he can be fully healthy. Now they're doing that. And then you're like, it worries me. Well, listen, guy's got a sore Achilles.
But will he come back and contribute, though? He wasn't playing well. Yeah, he has a sore Achilles. But when he comes back, who are we getting? What AD are we getting, Nick?
Well, they had the best record in the NBA with him playing, even though he wasn't playing at an A-plus level. So I think him coming back, they'll be just fine, Jenna.
So there's another little wrinkle to this. While AD sits and rests and gets better, LeBron didn't travel with the Lakers to Sacramento for tonight's game against the Kings. Bron getting some much-needed rest. Nick, how badly do LeBron and the Lakers need the All-Star break to maybe recoup, get healthy again, both him and AD?
Well, I think it's a shame that LeBron's not playing tonight because it would be fitting if LeBron could have ended the coaching career of Luke Walton, the only coach he couldn't drag to the playoffs. And I think Luke Walton's probably not going to coach much longer than this evening. So it would have been nice if LeBron could have played. But Brandon, speaking of concern trolling, I am old enough to remember the concern being is LeBron playing too much. And so now LeBron, he was clearly worn down from playing all 36 games. That's why he only scored 38 last night instead of the 50 that you correctly called that he needed. So now he gets an extra night off for the All-Star break. I do think the break is coming at the right time for the Lakers, not because LeBron is tired, but because Anthony Davis would be missing the next 10 days either way. And so it's better that they only have one game over the next 10 days or so during the All-Star break, and AD gets the All-Star game off as well, obviously.
Yeah, I just want to make sure moving forward that there isn't a double standard here, right? This sounds to me like load management. Why is he taking a night off? That's the thing that we've been talking about all year. Oh, LeBron James should win MVP because all these other guys are resting. Sounds like he's starting that now. It sounds like he's finally embracing reality that he can't do it alone. So LeBron James taking his night off is telling us that he is tired, that he needs the rest, Wilds. So all this other stuff about, LeBron can play every single minute, he can play every single night, you know, it's terrible thinking.
But hold on. I can't let that stand. No one has argued he should play every single game. Nobody has argued that. And the idea, nobody really? Has said you should play all 82. Yes, really. Show me the person. I'd like to find them. I'd like to know who they are because I haven't heard that or seen that. But there is a difference between your
Your stance on why he should win MVP and why he's the greatest player is because everybody else takes nights off. You highlight James Harden. You highlight all these other guys. Well, not James Harden. You highlight, you know, Joel Embiid. You highlight all these other guys, and you say, well, you know what? LeBron James is the greatest player because he doesn't take time off. We crush Kawhi. We crush the Clippers. Load management. So I don't care if it's one game. Why is he taking tonight off? Is he hurt? Is something going on that we don't know of?
So two things. One is, the reason I say LeBron is the greatest player is because LeBron is the greatest player. It's because he's better at basketball than anyone who's living or has ever lived. That's actually why he's the greatest player. But there is to act like there is not a drastic difference between a guy who is going to play, call it 97% of his team's games, and a guy who might play 82% of his team's games is intellectually dishonest. I have said, I can't speak for anyone else, all year and for multiple years, that it is not smart for most guys to try to play 82 of 82. That playing 76 to 78 games makes sense. Kawhi got crushed last year and the year before because he was playing in the low 60s on an 82-game schedule.
Well,
What
makes you the sports scientist? Is it 76 games or is it 62? Like, yeah, Nick Wright, I respect you, and I'm going to follow you when you give me statistics and you give me history on football and NBA, but now we're talking about how many games a guy should take off. What gives you that credibility?
Well, the fact that the history, you're asking me about the history of it. The history is load management, which was kind of created by the Spurs. Tim Duncan in year 18 was still playing 74 to 78 games. Nobody in league history prior to Kawhi 2 years ago in Toronto or 3 years ago had said, I'm going to sit out a quarter of my team's games. He then did it again with the Clippers last year, and it was clearly an issue. So that's the credibility. The credibility is what everyone in league history has done. Embiid's issue is not that he is taking nights off. Embiid's issue is he has to take the nights off because of the injury concern. And when you miss 20% of your team's games, of course that's going to impact your value to the team. But nobody went into this season saying LeBron James should play all 72. But I'm not shocked that LeBron James is once again in a position where if he does play all the games, he's chasing an MVP and being selfish. But if he takes a night off against Sacramento before the All-Star break, he's undercutting his own messaging to the team. I'm not surprised that damned if you do, damned if you don't, Jenna.
You know what that is, Nick. Intellectual honesty. That's what it is right there. Hey, I got a tip for you as we head to break. Download the Fox Sports Super 6 NBA contest. Your chance to win $25,000. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of 6 of today's NBA games. That's it. More information, you can always check out the Fox Sports app. We got to take a break. Much more First Things First right after this.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, First Things First listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead. Download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability,
and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
All right, we got to take a turn back to real sports with real whistles and real refs. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys coming off a season to forget, but I'll remind you, because that's my job. Cowboys, they lost Dak in week 5. Then they just kept losing right through the season, even in the worst division of football. So here we are, folks. Another offseason. Dak still unsigned, but at least he appears to be healthy. According to reports, Dak could be 100% healthy by April. So, all right, April, Nick, if that's the case, if Dak is 100%, what is his ceiling with the Cowboys this season?
Listen, I think Dak can be a top 10 quarterback, but I'm going to take this conversation in a different direction. I think we talk a ton about Dak Prescott, and yet we haven't talked enough about the most important story involving Dak Prescott over the last month, which is that 2 months ago, he had a second ankle surgery. And that we now sit here in March and they're like, oh, no, don't worry. He's going to be 100% in April. And Brandon, they were very careful in their explanation for his second ankle surgery. They were like, no, had nothing to do with the first injury. It's while we were in there looking at the first injury, we saw some other things we needed to clean up. And my concern with Dak is multi-layered, Brandon. One is that he still is not able to fully practice, fully play, and we're into March. And the other is, and this is going to sound a little counterintuitive, but how healthy he has been throughout his entire career could potentially work against him in this regard because he has no history of missing time due to injury. I looked it up. The last time he didn't play regular football was when he redshirted at Mississippi State. It's been a decade. And so he hasn't dealt with injury. He hasn't dealt with being away from the team. I know he's with the team rehabbing, but all of that concerns me to a degree. And the second surgery, and I know you suffered an injury similar to Dax, not quite as traumatic, but the second surgery to me is not a blaring red flag or red siren or whatever, but it's concerning. It's something that I think you need to monitor until we see video of him, you know, 100%. Either tug of warring with a lion or box jumping with Myles Garrett. True. We need to see something before I'm, going to say he's going to be fine, Brandon.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. I mean, this type of injury ended my career. 2018, week 6, playing against the San Diego Chargers in MetLife. What happened? 3 of our receivers went down. I went down with the ankle, snapped my deltoid, something that you're not supposed to snap. Odell Beckham Jr. went down, snapped his deltoid, and had a similar injury, a compound ankle fracture, similar to Dak Prescott's ankle hanging to the side. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Google it, YouTube it. It's gruesome. It doesn't look great. And Sterling Shepard also went down with an ankle. This is something that is serious. Now, look, nobody's ever going to be 100% healthy in the National Football League. You don't have to break a bone. You don't have to have some type of pulled hamstring. Like, it's tough. I've always said that the great players find a way to continue to produce at a high level dealing with something. We never know what these guys are dealing with. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady had to have surgery after the season. These guys played through these injuries. So I'm not concerned about Dak long term, but it is something for us to talk about because what happens is everything, your mechanics change. And as a player, you have to figure out, you know, how do I now drop back with my ankle feeling a little off, or now I'm a little stiffer in this area? So Dak has to go through that process. Will he be back on the field and to his new norm, his new 100%? Yes. But what the process now is, all right, it feels a little different. Now what I need to do? But to answer your question, Jenna, as far as the ceiling for him, I think it's the sky's the limit. For him as an individual, I mean, the guy that he was leading his offense before he went down, before Logan Ryan on the left side pulled him down and you saw this ankle snap. He was leading his offense to, 497 yards a game. It was unbelievable what he's doing. The only thing he had to tweak and change was the ball security. He was turning the ball over a couple times. But this team is not good enough to go to a Super Bowl. Now, they can be given a division, they can go in their wilds and they can win a division, mm-hmm. but they're going to be out of the playoffs after the first week.
Oh, I don't think so, Brandon. If he's 100%, and I'm going to take him Ooh. At his word or at the doctor's word, if he comes back 100%, he's going to be great. And I see a lot of reports out there that he can't get paid because he's a good quarterback. He's not great. And I'm like, all right, well, let's just stop thinking about this in a fictitious way. Let's say, like, oh, is he as good as Patrick Mahomes? Like, well, I don't know. And like, oh, is he as good as prime Peyton Manning? Or let's get a DeLorean. Is he as good as Bart Starr? Like, who cares? I don't care. When you look at the Cowboys' upcoming schedule, the large majority of the time, he's the best quarterback on the field. He's better than whoever's Philly's going to put out there. He's better than Danny Dimes. He's better who's Washington's ever going to put out there. Then you go, what else you got? All right, you're better than Derek Carr. You're better than Drew Lock. You're better than who else they play? Patrick Mahomes. You're not better than Patrick Mahomes. You're not better than Patrick Mahomes. Then you got the Saints.
He's not better than Patrick Mahomes. Sure.
You're better than Matt Ryan.
Right.
You're better than Teddy B. It's questionable That's about right. Brady. Sure. And then you got Kyler. I think he's better than Kyler. And you got Kirk Cousins. So 13 times, he's going to obviously be the best quarterback on the field. You got Kyler, you're going to have a debate. You got Brady and Mahomes. So he should be paid like that. He's not just a run-of-the-mill quarterback. The Cowboys, when they step on the field, Nick, they can win every game. And there's a lot of teams in the league when they look around like,
goodness.
You know what? I think our quarterback is holding us back. They can win every game.
But go ahead, Jenna.
Nick, we can't just be the only – he passes our eye test. The Cowboys watch him day in and day out. They've seen every second of video when he practices, when he's on the field, and when he plays. There's something there that's holding them back. If he really is better than all the guys that we've mentioned, that's keeping them from paying him like he is that good. I don't know if they don't think he's going to be 100% back or if they don't think the ceiling or the sky's the limit for him. But there's some disconnect from the way seemingly we see Dak Prescott to the way the Dallas Cowboys see Dak Prescott.
Well, I think the disconnect is they underestimated his negotiating strength. I think they thought he would fold his hand like I thought he would fold his hand prior to last year. I think they believed he was going to accept their last best offer, and he didn't. But I do think Wilds brings up an interesting point, which is if there's 8 quarterbacks better than Dak in the NFL, and that's just a round number, essentially, but you only play 3 of them next year, then the Cowboys could be really well positioned. The problem, and I think this gets to Brandon's point, is you're going to play a bunch more of them once you win the division and get to the playoffs. Like, you might be able to, because of the way the schedule falls, you have your division, there's no quarterbacks, there's 6 games. You have the NFC South, which all of a sudden seems to have question marks at quarterbacks for the Saints, question mark at quarterback for the Panthers. We know who the quarterback for the Bucks and the Falcons are going to be. It's like, okay, well, now there's 8 games. Derek Carr, now we're at 9 games. You can go up and down the list and say, okay, yeah, we have the best quarterback in 3 out of 4 games we play, but does that apply at all once you get to the postseason? I think that's Brandon's concern. I think all of us right now, Brandon, are probably going to pick the Cowboys to win their division, but there's other issues, right. And that's not even to talk about the other side of the football for Dallas, which was a total mess last year.
Yeah, well, it depends on who the Redskins get at quarterback, because it could easily be their division. I love everything outside of that quarterback position. Washington football team. But back to this Cowboys team. Where I was like, yeah, Dak Prescott, he showed us. I mean, he was literally that offense was literally averaging 497 yards. Total offense. That was ridiculous. But they were turning the ball over. Ezekiel Elliott. Like, what type of Zeke are we going to get? What type of offensive line are we going to get? Are these guys going to come back healthy? And then also this mentality that they had on the defensive side. They fire their coach. They bring in Dan Quinn. We know what we're going to get out of there is the Seattle Seahawks defense. And then that mentality is, well, we don't go 100% on every single play. Remember we had that discussion when everybody was talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Xavier kid? Dak can go out there, Nick, and he can play lights out and they can still lose. Do you trust McCarthy in clutch moments to get it right?
That's the other part.
I just don't know. I don't believe in the Cowboys right now. Yeah.
All right. We got to take a turn. We got to talk some basketball. Nick, our guy Nick's got a brand spanking new edition of his NBA player pyramid. I can't wait. It's going to get unveiled. I can't imagine anyone has any issue with it. It is next. This is First Things First.
Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Back here, First Things First. What time is it?
Hey.
Oh, I know. It's time for Nick's NBA player pyramid. Okay. Last time around, LeBron was all by his lonesome at the very top. Things have since changed. Joel Embiid's having an MVP season. The Joker is leading Knicks medal standing. So, Nick, buddy, where does everybody stack up right now?
All right, first, let's show you who's in, who's out. Four new additions. That means four people have to leave. If we can start there, Julius Randle. Better than prime Chris Bosh. I'm told he's on there. Tobias Harris, third best player on the best team in the East, he's on there. All-star Vucevic, and everyone thought the Spurs were going to be terrible. DeMar DeRozan's been excellent, he gets on there. Jeremy Grant, you're on the worst team in basketball, you're out. Karl-Anthony Towns and Drew Holiday, it's more COVID reasoning, but you haven't played enough. And I'm going to admit something before we show the pyramid. Clint Capella should have never been on the pyramid. I don't know what I was thinking. Someone should have stopped me. I just got drunk on his 20 rebound games. It was an embarrassment. Sorry, Clint. You never should have been there, but you're gone now forever. Now show the latest pyramid, please. Forever. We'll quickly go through the bottom row. You see Trae Young, All-Star Sabonis. You see John Morant. John Morant was off the pyramid before last night, but he got himself back on with 35 points. Go up a level. Oh, did Jason Tatum drop? Jason Tatum did drop. He and Jaylen Brown, they're next to each other. You're on a bad team. You have two All-Stars. You can't be higher up the pyramid. Zach LaVine, though, rising. Quickly rising. Zach LaVine, deserving All-Star. Wow. Next level, Paul George. He had to fall a little bit. Paul George, by the way, back-to-back playoff games for Paul George. I don't know if you saw last night, 1-for-7 in the fourth quarter after his 0-for late in the game this weekend. Paul George dropped a bit. Defensive Player of the Year, Ben Simmons, he's rising. Rudy Gobert, also rising. Donovan Mitchell fell a bit. Why? They're winning a lot. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley. Because Mitchell is not he's the best player on the team, but he and Rudy, it's neck and neck, so they're on the same level. Now we can zoom in. I think we can zoom in, or we got to go another level. Zion keeps moving up the charts. Kyrie Irving, Brandon demanded I move him up the charts. He did. Anthony Davis. He wasn't playing great on offense, and now he's hurt. He has to move down. So who moves up? The Joker. Oof. He moves on up. Steph continues to play great. And this is hard. Like, these top four rows, what do you do? James Harden skyrocketed up the charts. Hey, you might be ineligible for league MVP, James Harden, but you are eligible to potentially be a level two pyramid guy. We'll see if you keep up this pace. Luka's kicking butt. And then Joel Embiid took Luka's spot on the second tier. Kevin Durant, you might be like, he's barely played this year. Yeah, but it's an emeritus spot for him. He was playing so well before he got hurt. And obviously, LeBron's the best player in the league. So, Brandon, I listened to you on Kyrie. Yeah. I listened to you on Harden.
Thank you.
I can't imagine you have any possible issue. I got rid of Clint Capella like you demanded. So, perfect pyramid. Quick segment. Move on. What do we got?
All right, so we have three things here, Nick. We have one major issue and two, you know, things that we need to have a conversation about.
Okay.
You look at Steph and you look at Luka. Has Luka really earned that spot over Steph? I don't think so. So that's one issue. The second issue is you got Joel Embiid at the top, but I'll get there later. The second issue is really Donovan Mitchell, man. Come on, bro. Like, how do you have a super talent on the best team in the NBA, and you moved him down? That makes no sense to me. So I would like to have a conversation there. And then the biggest thing and the major issue is the top, LeBron James. Can we have this discussion? Yeah. Anybody start throwing rocks at me? All right, let's have the discussion. Joel Embiid is the best player on the planet right now. He's the most dominant player on the planet right now. I mean, this is a dude. He's 7 feet tall. He's shooting lights out from three. He's had some down games the last couple of games. But then also from the field, he can do everything. This is Olajuwon in his prime. This dude can do everything. Handle the ball. He's playing defense. He can score from anywhere on the court. And the numbers don't lie. I know your numbers, guy. I'm not. But when you look at it, you can't ignore it. He's dominating these categories over LeBron James. So yes, LeBron James, he's the baby goat. There's Jordan and then there's LeBron. LeBron could potentially pass Michael if he continues this for another couple years. But at the end of the day, we're talking about right now. What have you done for me right now? Yeah. And I got to put Joel Embiid up there. So I'll go out on that limb. No one else in America wants to do it. And I'll say it. Joel Embiid is the most dominant player in the NBA, so he should be at the top of your pyramid.
Okay, let me address that.
Good point.
Let me focus here on that. So Joel Embiid, unlike James Harden, is a legitimate MVP candidate and one could argue MVP leader. In fact, he was the MVP leader very briefly last week, and then he had three straight games shooting 30% or worse from the field, and he dropped down a bit. But there are two numbers that you did not show on your fancy statistical side-by-side. One is team record, where despite the Lakers' recent swoon, despite Anthony Davis being out, the Lakers, in the far tougher conference, are still playing better than the Sixers over the course of the season. And the other one is fourth versus 69th. And that is minutes played. And as far as your ability to impart value on your team being out there, three guys in the league have played more minutes than LeBron. 68 people have played more minutes than Joel Embiid. Now, if he's able to play the entire second half of the year or most of it, he could overtake LeBron. It's very, very close. But right now, the pyramid's obviously at the top, 100% correct. I respect your opinion here. You just happen to be totally wrong. Go ahead, Wiles.
Oh, my turn? Well, Nick, I thought you brought up some very interesting points. And Brian and I, fresh from the wind turbine, he is now healed. Have our new petition.
I thought he landed on Baltimore.
The Joker up one tier. And I'll tell you who I'm going to move down. Spoiler alert.
It's your largest adult Slovenian son.
Okay, here's the reason why I want to move the Joker up. Last night, head-to-head matchup between Giannis and Joker. And guess what happened? Historic triple-double. Threw up his 50th triple-double. Only Wilt and Oscar have been faster to get to 50 triple-doubles. That's the Joker. Reason number two, highest PR in the league. So you can look at points, you can look at rebounds, you can say Embiid's doing all this. The fact of the matter is the Joker has the highest of PR in the league. Reason number three, water polo assists. It's my favorite little anecdote that he used to play water polo, and that's what makes him such a great passer. He's averaging 0.4 assists less than Luka, but he's a center. If he keeps this up, he was leading the league for a while, he would set the record for assists as a center. And then finally, I'm also going to do it. We put up head-to-head Luka versus Joker. Because I remember, I'll do it in my Nick impression, I'm old enough to remember 30 seconds ago when you can look at a team when they say like, oh, I know the numbers are better, but the team's record is better. Well, look, the Nuggets should probably be higher, but so should the Mavs. Joker has a better record. So for those reasons, and I know you should actually probably recuse yourself from the pyramid when you're talking about your own son, but for those reasons, that's I think true. Joker and Luka should flip-flop. Take your own personal feelings out of the
picture. Go back to both the Wilds full screens. Go back to both the Wilds full screens. Show me either one because I can deal with both of them. On the statistical full screen, it's very interesting. You would be like, hey, here's why Joker should be ahead of him. I know he's averaging fewer points and fewer assists, but he's actually better. That doesn't really sway. What? I'm sorry? Is it not fewer? Are my eyes
bad?
It's
1 point, and he's
the center. I have good eyes.
He's the center. He's not the point guard. He's the center. So,
well, that, my friend, undercuts your other full screen, which is show me his petition. Because of all of, what's your crow's name, Wallace or something? Of all of these, only one of them,
Brian.
Only one of these things has anything to do with this year. Petition reason number one, historic triple doubles. That has to do with things he accomplished his rookie season. Who cares? The water polo passing record might be the dumbest sentence ever put on sports television. So the only thing that actually applies to this year is the efficiency. And PER, we know, greatly favors big men because it rewards you for rebounding and it rewards you for a high field goal percentage. As far as the record goes, the Mavs have a whole one more loss than the Nuggets, despite the fact that Kristaps has been out and the Nuggets have Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and a far better roster. So for all those reasons, and Joker's been awesome, Luka's been the better player. Joker's been awesome, but Luka's been the better player.
All right.
Sorry.
For the record, Nick, once dated a water polo player, also a good basketball player. Just letting you know. We got to get back to football. J.J. Watt wasting no time making friends with Cardinals. Very friendly bird, the Cardinal. Here's J.J. meeting his pass rusher partner, Chandler Jones, in Arizona.
55-99.
Yeah. What's up for the number? What's going on?
I spoke to his daughter today, and she gave me permission for it, so we're good to go.
It's amazing.
I love it,
man.
It's good.
On Sunday, the best season ever continues in Las Vegas as the NASCAR Cup Series looks to put on a show out in Sin City. The action heats up 3:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports
Let's
app.
Go.
Time now for Drawing a Blank. Saints, D-end, Cam Jordan making it clear. If Russell Wilson comes to New Orleans, the Saints will win a Super Bowl. I feel like they should just get Russell Wilson to New Orleans and then they'd win a Super Bowl. No brainer. But Brandon, Cam Jordan saying Russ is the missing piece to a Saints Super Bowl is blank.
Wow, full court press. You got the mayor after Russ. Now Cam's coming out. This is flawless logic. He's absolutely right. I love Dennis Allen in that defense. They always start off the season slow, and then they hit their stride at the midway point, and they go from one of the worst defenses statistically to one of the best and dominant. So I love that side of the ball. And then on the offensive side, I was one of the guys before the season, or maybe the only guy before the season, to say that the New Orleans Saints will probably win a division and get to the playoffs and implode. Why did I say that? Because Drew Brees, I love Drew Brees. We need to give him his flowers. He's great. He's one of the best to ever do it. Respect the man. But the last couple years, how you guys approach things on the offensive side has held this team back. It's too predictable. Teams know they're not going to take those shots. Teams know they can't really open it up. It's going to go to 41-13. That's their offense. If you insert a guy like this with his leadership and his ability to throw the ball all over the field and then also escape the pocket, I truly believe he would be the missing piece that they've been waiting for to get to back to the Super Bowl. Excuse me, Nick.
Brandon, I appreciate all that, but this is driving me crazy. Folks, this is not make-believe salary cap. It's a real thing. And I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but the Saints have as good of a chance of trading for Russell Wilson as the Lakers do of trading for Kevin Durant. It's 0%. We can't. This is talk radio. Hey, I got a question for you, Nick. Why don't the Chiefs go ahead and pick up Khalil Mack and Von Miller this offseason? I think it would both. It's impossible. It can't happen. Stop talking about it. It's Wilds, I'm mad Russ put him on the list because he should know it can't happen. There's no way to make this work. It's 0%.
Ooh, that's a nice little buried take you had in there. If Russ wants more say in the personnel decisions, maybe you should pay more attention to cap rather than put the Saints on your list.
Yeah.
I went with 2022. Because I view this as Tom Brady's putting his house up for sale.
and then playing the full year, kind of unhappy. The season ends, and he's like, ah, we'll see what happens. You know, I'll talk to Mr. Kraft, a.k.a. I'm out of here. So I feel like Russ is going to stay in Seattle, and they're going to have a gap year with Mr. Winston here, who's been working very hard with these green things.
Has he?
I don't know what's going on, but he's working hard. One gap year, Russ is going to flame, not flame out, but it's going to get worse
they
in
call
Seattle.
Them dummies,
then he
wow.
can come clean up the cap.
They call those things
what do they call
dummies.
Them?
Mr. Dummies. Clairvoyant, Kevin Wilds. I like
call
it.
Them green things.
Let's talk Literally. To Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt talked about his former quarterback, said yesterday, quote, the one thing I want for Deshaun is for him to be happy. Brandon, Deshaun would be happiest on the blank.
The first one-way ticket out of Houston. That's the answer. It's that bad there. I threw this out there last week, but it's something I've been holding on to. This dude was uncomfortable in the building during the season. This guy, why did they bring in Josh McCown? They brought in Josh McCown so he can fill the void and stand in the gap between Deshaun Watson and coaching and the management and management and ownership. That's what they did. So this dude would be excited to get out of Houston. And I don't know if he really cares if it's the Miami Dolphins or if it's the Jets. I think he's just ready to go. Now, the best landing spot, I believe, like if he wants to go win right now, there's two spots that he can win right now. That's the Miami Dolphins, teams that's in the market. And potentially San Francisco 49ers. 49ers keep flirting
hey,
with quarterbacks.
It. That's go my take. There, you gave your one you way get. Out of Houston. Take it
okay,
off Brandon.
Okay.
Stop talking. You gave one the way Jets. Out of Houston. 49ers is the answer. We know he'd be happy anywhere by evidence by the fact that he'd go to the Jets. If you'll go to the Jets, you'll go anywhere outside of the CFL. But the best spot for him is the Niners. Great offensive line, great coach, healthier defense next year. They don't like their quarterback. The Niners is the right answer. Brandon, stop stealing all the takes. You can't just have all the takes. You got to leave some of the takes.
I love that. I love it. Just take it. Let's go.
See, I like the Niners, too. Free up Jimmy G to come back to New England. I said Dolphins with an asterisk. Dolphins with an asterisk. Because the other sneaky big news, defensive captain Kyle Van Noy, who they just signed away from the Patriots last year, just released, upper release, cap casualty, COVID, the cap went down about $10 million. So Kyle Van Noy is released. So I thought that Deshaun could go hang out with Brian Flores, awesome coach, get this sort of the Tom Brady system, great defense. Then go Kyle Van Noy's out of there, headed back to New England, hopefully knock on this kind of foam plaster stuff we have here. So I still think Dolphins, but I'm missing Kyle Van Noy, so I'm putting an asterisk on it.
You know what else slid around yesterday? That's not the right word. Josh McCown released by the Texans. So maybe it will be Deshaun. Who knows? On to Baker Mayfield now. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski said he knows that Baker can, quote, continue to get better as he moves into year four. Brandon Marshall, the pressure on Baker Mayfield in 2021 is blank.
This is make-believe. Look, guys, if you want to see a fight between two co-hosts, then you just turn on First Things First when we're talking about Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Jenna, I'm sorry, but next year when we're talking about the Cleveland Browns and me and Nick Wright get into it, please do not push the conversation forward. Let us go at it because this is all Nick Wright. Nick Wright is the only one in America that is talking about Baker Mayfield in this way. He cannot win a Super Bowl. This is all make-believe, and it's starting by this man right here, Nick Wright. Make-believe.
Yes. See, that's very interesting because Brandon made his answer about me, and my answer is literally about Brandon because the pressure on Baker Mayfield in 2021 is up to Brandon. And to a degree, Colin Cowherd. If Brandon and Cowherd want to continue to be unfair to this bastion of Americana, Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, just whooped the Steelers in the playoffs, tried to force Big Ben into retirement. The only reason Ben's coming back is because he can't have his final game being Baker dog walking him out of Heinz Field. Then so be it. That's fine. But Baker has obviously proven himself in this league. They won a playoff game. They won double-digit games. And next year, if we're going to be fair to him, there's not a lot of pressure on him.
But we probably won't be fair to him. By we, I mean Brandon and Cowherd. So he's going to continue to feel immense pressure. And then he's going to rise to the occasion, as he always has, Kevin Wilds. So unless Brandon just wants to be fair to him, that's up to him.
Early prediction. Early prediction.
Brandon, give me your wide receiver take on this. When you look at the stats, and I specifically did not ask for the stat panel because I think it's a little unfair. Baker's numbers are better without OBJ than they are with OBJ. I think it's just because it's kind of the season went on, their offense got worked out. But OBJ's got a decent cap hit. It's like $16 million. We know there's a lot of teams in the market for a free agent, and the market hasn't been super hot. Godwin's like, I'll just probably get franchised. We haven't seen anything else happening.
Thanks.
Do you think OBJ or the Browns should move OBJ?
Absolutely. It's not a great fit. And as a superstar wide receiver, that alpha number one wide receiver, you put pressure on young quarterbacks. It came a point in my career where I couldn't even talk to the quarterbacks in pregame. I knew the backup quarterbacks throwing me the ball, they were so rattled that they thought they were going to be perfect. They were throwing the damn balls in the stands. So I was like, all right, let me just tell these guys, it's okay. You know, so I think that's what's happening in Cleveland, is that Baker is like, that's OBJ, I got to be perfect. And that's why it's not working out, and that's why they should move on. OBJ to the Packers.
That's right. I like that. That's the move. That's the move, Brandon.
There's something. I love that. On to hoops now. The Houston Rockets owner announced yesterday the team's planning to retire James Harden's number 13 in the future. Beard back in Houston for Nets Rockets. That's tonight. First time back in H-Town since the trade. Brandon, the reception for James Harden in his return will be blank.
I mean, I'll be quick here. Is this even a discussion? This is going to be abysmal. I mean, they love him. They're talking about they're going to retire his jersey. But the way he left, you know, they need to boo him. He needs to get one solid boo before they start cheering on him and putting his jersey in a rafter. Abysmal.
I actually think it's going to be better than expected. I think that the Rockets understand. I mean, they've lost 11 in a row. They're going to get annihilated tonight. They know that. But Harden was excellent, not only the second best player in franchise history, no disrespect, Moses Malone wasn't there long enough, but he also was great in the community. J.J. Watt got all the headlines after Hurricane Harvey for raising money. James donated $1 million of his own money, and he was great in the community, and he stays involved in that community. I actually don't think it's going to be like when Vince went back to Toronto, Wilds. I think it's going to be a decent reception for him tonight.
Okay. Akeem Olajuwon was good, too. I feel like you forgot about him. Harden's better than Akeem Olajuwon.
That's why I said second best player. All right. That's why I said second best player, Wilds.
I thought you were saying Moses. Okay. Yeah, all right. That's what I got confused by. I'm sorry. Now, corrected. We're going to edit that in the post. I think it's Wall lockdown. I'd like to see a John Wall lockdown. Like, even if the Rockets lose the game, this is a bigger game for John Wall than it is for James Harden. I'd like to see Wall just come out, show that he's still got it, and just try to, like, hold James Harden to under 20 points. Just, like, it's a really, would be a nice move for John Wall to really sort of circle this one. I want it to happen. I'm rooting for John Wall.
You want something badly enough. Put it on your vision board. Back here talking Dak Prescott now in the NFL. What is his ceiling if Dak Prescott's 100% healthy? The rumor is he will be very soon. It's next. This is First Things First.
Your vision.
Back here, First Things First. We're talking Dak Prescott now. Cowboys coming off a season they'd like to forget. I'm going to remind you, though, they lost Dak Prescott in week 5. Then they just kept losing right through the season, even in the worst division in football. So here we are, another offseason with Dak unsigned. But at least it appears like Dak's healthy. According to reports, he could be 100% healthy by April. Nick, if that is the case, if Dak is 100%, what is his ceiling with this Cowboys team?
I think they can be really good. I won't pick them to go to the Super Bowl like I did last year because all that time, what did Mike McCarthy, Brandon, you told me about it. You lived in a barn in Appleton, Wisconsin, and he crunched numbers, and those numbers maybe was an abacus, and maybe that barn didn't have good ventilation because it didn't really help. So McCarthy, the defense wasn't very good, so I can't pick them to go to the Super Bowl. No matter how good I think Dak's going to be, but I want to go to the in Jenna's sentence. So I'm going to kind of throw a bit of a curveball. Jenna, you know, if he's 100% healthy, Brandon, how concerned should I be by the report that, no, Dak's going to be healthy. He's not yet, but give it another month. And then the report from a few weeks ago that, oh, yeah, Dak had a second ankle surgery. Now, it's on the same ankle, but it's unrelated to the first injury to clean some things up. So, you know, Dak's never missed time due to injury in his athletic career. The last time he missed any games, it was because he was redshirting at Mississippi State a decade ago. So he doesn't have a history of going through rehab, being away from the team in that capacity. And now he's had two surgeries after being really clean injury-wise, dating as far as the records exist. I couldn't figure out if anything had happened to him in high school. So, like, what's your level of concern about his health before we even get to the, if he is healthy, how good they're going to be?
Nick, that's a great point. I mean, from a structural standpoint, he'll be fine. Like, when you talk about the second surgery and the cleanup, what happens is, and we don't know all the details. I mean, maybe someone else do, but I couldn't find it. I don't know if they went in and put screws in that tibia and fibia to really make sure that those bones heal the right way. And then they do this other thing where they call it like a wire. They take your ankle and they wrap it super tight. Why is that important? Because you're, from a structure standpoint, you'll be fine. You won't have any pain, but you lose mobility. You lose some mobility, you lose some stability. So we don't know. Everybody's rehab process is different. It depends on how Dak responds and how he actually adapts to his new body. Like, they keep saying 100%. He'll never be 100% again. There's not one football player or one NBA player, WNBA player, that's 100% healthy. The good players, the great players, what end up happening is you figure out how to produce at a high level even when you're hurting, even when you need a surgery. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady just had a knee surgery. Those are things that we don't even think about. Those are things that we don't even know when we're in the moment and in the season what these guys are dealing with. So, Nick, it's a great thing, and the honest answer is we don't know.
Right, but if you assume that we buy this report at face value, that he's going to be 100%, I think his ceiling is astronomically high. And I've heard people on other shows and on the radio saying, like, well, let's go into DeLorean world. Well, would you pay Dan Marino that much money? I don't know. Is he as good as Patrick Mahomes? Like, let's just deal in the real world. And here's the real world, Nick. The large majority of the time, when Dak Prescott and the Cowboys step on the field, he is the better quarterback. And we look at it through game by game, who their opponents are. There's just twice where you're like, maybe Dak's not the best. Here we go. NFC East. Is he better than Jalen Hurts? Yup. We don't even know if Jalen's going to be starting. Is he better than Danny Dimes? I love him. Yep. But yes, Dak is better. How about this fictitious person who doesn't even get a helmet or is not even throwing the ball? Yup. You're better than Washington QB, TBB, that's whoever that's going to be. Who else do they play next year? Let's advance the folding. Are you better than Carr? Yup. Are you better than Bitcoin Herbert? Right now you are. You're better than Drew Locke? Look, I love the sort of the Toy Story. Doo, 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 doo. I love that. And I love that you're rapping a young Jeezy on the sidelines. But guess what? Dak Prescott's better than you. Better than Mahomes? No. First strike against you. Who else are you playing in the NFC? A whole bevy of guys. Are you better than Tom Brady? Let's say no. Better than Teddy or Kirk Cousins or Kyler Murray? Coin flip. I say yes. Matt Ryan or whoever the Saints are putting out there? Yes. So, Nick, I can guarantee you for at least 12 games, Dak Prescott is going to be the better quarterback on the field. Kyler's a coin flip, and I'll give you Tom Brady and I'll give you Patrick Mahomes. But he's obviously in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. I don't know why there's any reticence for people to say it out loud and pay him as such. He's a great quarterback, and the Cowboys are going to be great next year. And if they're not, it's not going to be his fault.
Oh, great. Oh, my goodness.
So they are. So, Brandon, I know I want to stay on Dak, though, for a second. Because, Brandon, I know you have your concerns that even if Dak is phenomenal, the Cowboys might not be, right? Like, and you've illustrated those, and they're very well stated. But I want to stay on Dak and ask you this, because Wilds lays out the quarterbacks that he's going to be better than, and I think in large part he's right. Herbert might be better than him next year, but set that aside. A dozen out of the 16 games, Dak will probably be the better quarterback. Why do you think there's hesitancy for a lot of football fans on calling Dak a great quarterback? Because he does have great numbers.
Yeah.
My theory is as simple as this, Brandon. I think people look at his arm and the eye test is like, he's good. I think it's just your gut feeling when you watch him compared to when you watch even what Wentz once upon a time was. It was like Dak had better numbers. Doesn't matter. It's just the feeling you get. Do you think that works against Dak in the narrative conversation? Is people just doubt if he has an elite right arm?
No, look, I can go back to the Atlanta Falcons game and CeeDee was lined up on the right side, or it was Cooper, and he ran a skinny post, seven-step skinny post, planted on his right foot, hit it right to the near upright, and there was a corner and a safety, and he threaded the needle. And in that moment, I said, yo, this dude got it. He can throw it. Because up to that point, since 2016, this has been like a superstar game manager. That's who he's been.
Right.
Since 2016, he's averaged over 3,000 yards. But last year, he was on pace to do something that we may have never seen before. They were averaging 500 yards of total offense. And so I think he was changing the narrative before he got hurt. The only thing that he needed to look at, I mean, he needed to adjust was those damn turnovers. If he did that, now we're talking about him being a top five quarterback last year, Nick.
And I do think, Wilds, your first graphic was the most important one, because it doesn't so much matter how he compares to the other 10 games on his schedule. They so clearly have the best quarterback in the NFC East. They enter the season at a massive advantage, with the one question being, Jenna, what is Washington going to do at quarterback?
All right, we'll wait and see what happens with Dak. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Undisputed starts right now. Have a good one, everyone.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.